The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, such is the assurance I have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. He also it is who has made us fit ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministration of death, which was engraved in letters upon stones, was inaugurated in such glory that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly upon the face of Moses on account of the transient glory that shone upon it, shall not the ministration of the Spirit be still more glorious? For if there is glory in the ministration that condemned, much more does the ministration that justifies abound in glory. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and they have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and they have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer got up to test him, saying, Master, what must I do to gain eternal life? But he said to him, What is written in the law? How dost thou read? He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole strength, and with thy whole mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered rightly, do this and thou shalt live. But he, wishing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered, A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in with robbers, who after both stripping him and beating him went their way, leaving him half dead. But as it happened, a certain priest was going down the same way, and when he saw him, he passed by. Likewise, a Levite, who also, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came upon him, and seeing him was moved with compassion. And he went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And setting him on his own beast, he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, Take care of him. And whatever more thou spendest, I, on my way back, will repay thee. Which of these 3, in thy opinion, proved himself neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? And he said, He who took pity on him. And Jesus said to him, Go and do thou also in like manner. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, primarily this morning, as far as the bulletin is concerned, I bring to your attention the fact of confirmation coming up. Be sure that we prepare ourselves and that all the documents, if there are any documents necessary, that we have these documents so that the sacrament can be administered. Anyone who was baptized in any of our chapels has no worry. But anyone, old or young, who was baptized elsewhere, I hate to be insistent, but I have to be insistent, and that is we must have the baptismal certificate of that person, whoever that person may be. Now, sometimes it takes a little time to get these documents, so start early, because I need these, we must have these before the first, around the first day of October. So this is essential, that this baptismal certificate be in our possession, or a copy of it, by October the 1st. Also, the ones who are to be confirmed need to select a confirmation name. Not that this name is going to cause you to change your name, but there should be a saint's name involved in this, and that you pick out a saint that you like to, that you have particular devotion to, and take that as your confirmation name. And as we get closer to the day of confirmation, we will have some little cards prepared for you where you can have, where you will put your own present name upon that card, and the confirmation name that you select also printed on that card so we can read it. And that card must be presented as you approach to be confirmed and given to the master of ceremonies or whoever. And this will be shown to the bishop, who will then give you that name. So the card will be available in due time. The question of sponsors has come up. There would be utter pandemonium in the church if each individual had his or her own particular sponsors. And you can readily understand that. So the custom has always been that there are two only sponsors appointed for that particular occasion who will stand up for all those being confirmed. A gentleman for the male ones to be confirmed, and a lady for the female ones to be confirmed. And they will simply, these two will simply stand up here at the communion rail, and they will place their hands on the shoulders of those to be confirmed. And that simplifies the process, and all will be readily administered in that way. So begin to think of these things, and let us prepare ourselves so that we will know and that it will all move smoothly. As far as children are concerned, of course, the situation concerning the age limits are defined in our bulletin, have been, so we shall have to follow those requirements. Knowing, of course, as Father said last week, that confirmation can be administered at any time, really, after baptism, for that matter. And however, for the custom in our nation, we follow as is instructed. I ask you, please, those of you who have children or youngish people in your families, that you will go over the items of confirmation that one is really required to know for his faith. And that the children are instructed in these items and that they will know them. Of course, for that matter, we grown-ups could stand a little refresher on that matter and study them also. The bottom part of the bulletin, which has been presented week after week now for the last two or three weeks, please cut that out and fill it out and return it to us as soon as you can. I know it, there are many things that, that conflict with our daily schedule, and so far we've received only three. So I'm beginning to get just a wee bit worried. Not that I'm worried about people wanting to be confirmed, but let's not wait to the last minute in order to send in these documents. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole strength, with thy whole mind. We hear this and we wonder. This is repeated to us time after time, and we read it in the Bible as often as we read the Bible, and we wonder, how is it that this can be? How can I live a normal life as I know to live a normal life, as I see to live a normal life, and live according to this command? There is no exaggeration, no fear of, there should be no fear of repetition. That in, of course this has always been true, but it is especially true today, more than it has ever been true amongst mankind, amongst humankind. Generally speaking, that if you talk to people about God today, it is like writing on water. How do you write on water? What impression does your writing have on water? And to come to modern man today and tell him that he must, this is not merely a suggestion, but that he must love with all of his mind and heart and soul and body and being. How can this be? We might argue that this is said to men and women, to those men and those women who have joined religious life. They are the ones that have been commanded to do this. This applies to them. We realize that it applies to us, but with certain qualifications. But as far as they are concerned, there are no qualifications. They are the ones that have to love with all of their heart and mind. That's not so. This rule, this demand, this command applies to each of us, whoever we may be, whether we are in or out of a religious cloister. Every one of us has been commanded in similar fashion. The only difference, as we have pointed out here before, the only difference between those who enter a religious cloister and those who do not enter a religious cloister is that those who have entered have taken this command, the identical command that all of us must follow. Those of us that have entered this the cloister have taken this command and have made a vow, a solemn, perpetual, lifetime vow underlining this obligation. And as a matter of fact, because of that, I think it can be safely said correctly that for those in a religious institute, when they break this command, they sin twice rather than once. Not only do they break the command, but they break the vow in a similar way, which they have made. So the obligation rests heavier and more heavily on those inside the cloister than outside. But nevertheless, we are all bound in the same way to love God in the way that we are supposed to. And this, of course, brings us to the question of purpose, which today we have certainly confused to the nth degree. What is purpose? What is our purpose? Why are we here? Why have we been placed here? As we have pointed out before, what is my purpose? Does God need me? Am I the only one around that God can call upon each night to go out and hang the moon in the sky? Does God need me to hang the moon up every night? And so on. Why am I here? Has it been required of me to go out and to convert all the nations and to bring the word of God to all the nations? In the past several days, we've all been following the events that our worthy state in which we live has been involved in concerning the removal of the Ten Commandments and all that. You know all that. People have traveled from far and wide in order to be present for this event, to stand up and be noticed. It is our obligation. All well and good. And it has been pointed out that anyone who was not there to make sure that it failed was not following the dictates of conscience. My beloved people, such as were there in this horrendous heat, and they suffered much, and we have to acknowledge the fact that they suffered much. But they have turned that into a reason for loving God. That's where the obligation is, that we must protect the things that are of God. And those of us who did not have failed in our obligation. To a certain extent, that's true. But for all those present and placing no judgment, they were very seriously concerned about not the removal of a monument. All well and good. The symbol, all well and good. But what was more important? The salvation of that monument. The salvation of the souls of those who were present. How did they keep, how do we keep these commandments? And yet we are bound to keep these commandments. What is the spiritual condition of my soul? In my relationship with my God, and this relationship is serious and grave. We fail to appreciate the total, the absolutely total importance of purpose. Why am I here? I'm here to prove to God that there is no thing, that there is no one, that there is no thought, that there is nothing, as far as I'm concerned, that comes before him. Let us understand that. Because unfortunately, there are those who have taken this and have squeezed it completely out of context and completely out of any sense that it makes. And have for that very reason taught a teaching that is completely false and wrong, in that I am so completely overwhelmed, I must be so completely filled with this dictate, that in reality, those who can love God in the way that he expects to be loved are so few and so far between that practically nobody makes the grade. This is false teaching. We are all eligible. But we have to understand what we mean by this. Does it mean that we have to give up all of our work, all of our effort, all of our this, that, or the other, that we have to give up all of our, if I can use the word, entertainment, that all of these things have to go? By no means is this the way it is supposed to be. But we have to put forth the effort again and again and again. Let us go to Nazareth to find out how this dictate is accomplished. We have to do it. We have to love God first. We have to give all of it to Him. That we go out in our work every morning, that we go down the road, we go here, we go there, that's all well and good. And we should, because every man has to live according to the bread that he earns with the labor of his own hands. And each of us has his own peculiar kind of labor that he must perform in order to earn his bread. But let it be bread that we earn, and hardly more. The hardly more part is the part that gets in the way, because it takes over and puts in first place that which is non-essential. So in these days, my beloved people, of total confusion, no matter where you look in our world today, the world is on fire. Everything seems to be going wrong. People are being killed for just no reason at all. All around us and about us. And it makes you ask the question, who's next? And as we have spoken in past weeks and months and whatever, the only thing that is important, that should be important in our lives, I must live today in such a way as God expects it of me. I must live in such a way that if death were to present itself to me at this moment, that I would be able to answer the summons. It matters not what I did yesterday. That is done and over, and we should have taken care of it by this time. It matters not what is to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow has not arrived, and I have absolutely no control over that. The only thing that I have control over is this present moment. And that I have to do everything that this present moment demands of me. No matter what it is. And at this present moment, the only one that I must have in front of me is God Himself alone. Now God does not get, as I said earlier, God does not get in the way. Of that which I am required to do to earn my daily bread. We understand that. But God must be in front of me at all times and at every moment, at the present moment, when it comes for time for me to make my judgment, this or that. If we can do that, my beloved people, we do love God with our whole mind, and our whole soul, and our whole being, and our whole heart, and strength, and everything. If only man could see this again and again, we refer to that one word, the conversio, the turning around. Man, for some reason, will not turn around. And the farther afield he goes, the worse off does he turn things into. This is what we speak here, my beloved people, love. We must not become involved. We must not work to do that which is religiously correct or politically correct. This is not what we're here for. Today we are very cautious about doing that which is religiously correct and politically correct, or else we suffer consequences. As we have always been reminded, the only reason, my beloved people, I beg you, the only reason for your being in this room at this time, whenever you come here at this time, in this room, must be one single solitary reason. And you know what that reason is. And you stand as tall, if not taller, because in your own way, in our own way, we have suffered persecution, the strongest kind of persecution, not for the dissents of a piece of stone, but for the defense of living flesh. And your presence here must be only because of that living flesh. No other purpose must be in your heart or mind or soul or being or strength. And I beg you for this, lest perhaps it might be said of us at some future day, you saw, but you did not see. And for this or for that, we should be condemned into everlasting fire. It is serious, my beloved people, what we are talking about. There is nothing that can equal it in seriousness. Tomorrow is a holiday. Enjoy it. It's perfectly legitimate to enjoy it. And on such a day, it is certainly fitting that we should pray to our most beloved Saint Joseph and ask him to protect us and to protect our labor, whatever it may be, and to keep us from harm and danger, to keep us far away from the grip of Satan. Saint Joseph is ever so important. Let us not forget to address ourselves to him on tomorrow. Let us always pray for each other that mischief will never ever reach us, that evil will never ever reach us, and that we will each one be able to have the grace of God, the ever great grace of God, to save our immortal soul, to live, to understand, and to be within the realm of purpose. That we can grasp this, that we will see it, that we will hear it, that we will know it. as God wants us to see it and hear it and know it, my beloved people.